Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Grutter assumed that universities could use race in a narrowly tailored way if they just did it like Harvard. But this court never had any evidence about Harvard. Now you do, and that evidence proves that none of Grutter's core assumptions were ever true. First, Grutter assumed that race would only be a plus. But race is a minus for Asians, a group that continues to face immense racial discrimination in this country. Asians should be getting into Harvard more than whites, but they don't because Harvard gives them significantly lower personal ratings.
All right, so this is Cameron Norris. He is the attorney representing the plaintiffs in the case against Harvard that the Supreme Court is going to issue a ruling on maybe today, maybe in the next couple. I just had this weird feeling it's going to be today. No evidence to that, but they only have about 10 days left in the month, and they've got to issue it sometime this month. But it could come today. Anyway, he's arguing that the plaintiffs who were suing both UNC and Harvard for violations of, in one case, Title VI, and in another case, the 14th Amendment, that essentially considering race in college admissions is unacceptable, either under federal law or under the Constitution or under both. And he says, look, Harvard has been, saying that they're like the standard for how to do this right, and they are problematic.
Second, Grutter assumed that applicants would be treated as individuals, not as members of racial groups. But Harvard gives racial preferences based on the box that applicants check, even if they never write about race or explain how it influences their views. And for competitive applicants, checking the right racial box is an anvil on the admission scale, worth the same as ultra-rare achievements like winning a national championship.
And it should not be that way. Again, there's been refinements in the law regarding affirmative action, and so you can't just make a quota anymore. But the Grutter v. Bollinger case out of Michigan is the one that's kind of running the regime now, and what they're saying is that even so, the programs at Harvard and UNC are terrible.
Third, Grutter assumed that universities would seriously consider race-neutral alternatives, but Harvard never once did so until 2017, 3 years after we sued it. Harvard now refuses to eliminate its legacy preferences or boost its socioeconomic preferences, even though both changes would make Harvard far less white, wealthy, and privileged.
Because there's other factors you can consider that might in some ways be a proxy for race, but would be less offensive than just asking somebody what their race is. But they even resist doing that.
That's how Harvard uses race, and Harvard is supposed to be the model. This court should admit that it was wrong about Harvard, wrong about Grutter, and wrong about letting the poison of racial classifications seep back into education. Grutter should be overruled both for public schools and for private schools that accept federal funds.
And the key issue for the plaintiffs here is that the whole idea of like the Civil Rights Act of 1866 and the 14th Amendment was that we were supposed to get rid of, we were supposed to eventually move to a race-blind way of assessing people's capabilities.
The Civil Rights Act of 1866 is a series of bans on racial discrimination. It's a series of colorblind measures and requirements. And then one of the earliest cases this court had before it went off the rails in Plessy was a case called Strouder, where the court immediately recognized that the purpose of this amendment was to eliminate racial classifications, no matter whether they benefited whites or blacks, because racial classifications themselves impose harms.
Exactly. And by the way, you might think like, okay, so they're trying to create diversity among the student body, a variety of viewpoints, backgrounds, and experiences so that the classroom experience and the interaction when you're doing small groups and things like that and making friends is, more interesting, more enriching, and also to produce the kind of diversity and variety of people who move into leadership in the culture. All of these are arguments in favor of this. The problem is that the only diversity they achieve, if at all, is in having skin color diversity, which is not real diversity of the substantial sort.
It's a little ironic in this case. Harvard is not diverse at all. Besides its racial statistics, 9% of incoming freshmen at Harvard are conservatives. Harvard is 82% wealthy. There's 23 rich students for every one low-income student on campus. It is not diverse in hardly any other way.
They don't have viewpoint diversity politically, religiously. They don't have representation of socioeconomic status the same way. The rich to poor gap is tremendous, and so this is the point. Now, Elena Kagan, for her part, is going to argue and had been arguing throughout the 5 hours of oral arguments. And yeah, I listened to it all, that it's good to have a diversity among, for example, staff or cops, or, you know, like medical staff, for example.
If you're a hospital and you serve a diverse group of patients, is it super important to you to have a diverse set of doctors?
I don't know that the evidence about the diversity of doctors and patients or anything about the medical field.
It wouldn't matter. Yeah. Okay. Or maybe it would. You don't know. If you're a police department and you serve a diverse community, is it super important to you to have a diverse set of police officers?
I mean, I believe if that's important, if there's good evidence that a racial classification was needed, that has nothing to do with the educational benefits of diversity in universities. That's the interest at Grutter.
Do you
upheld.
Think?
Well, except that the idea is that those folks come out of the universities. But listen, one of the key arguments as a thread throughout all of this is there are places like Florida where it's illegal. OK, you're not supposed to use race at all, that we still achieved great diversity regardless. And so there's a really good argument to be made that using a checkbox for race actually doesn't help you create diversity. You don't need it to create diversity. It certainly looks like race-based discrimination and so has some of these effects. And so that's the problem. You can get this result in other ways because, you know, the Grutter v. Bollinger case in 2003, Sandra Day O'Connor basically says, look, in 25 years, we ought to not have to use this anymore. We can be free of it. But we're almost there, and we're not. And so you either have to say, look, you know, it's not working, therefore we should not use this system anymore, or it's not working, and therefore we were, you know, for the fact that we've been trying it, her own self-imposed time limit means that the experiment has failed. So all of these things are at play. And I want to let you hear the other side a little bit because Seth Waxman was arguing for Harvard University. Here's how he argued. Well, actually, you know what? We didn't do traffic yet. Sorry. Traffic on the Fives with Candy.
Watching an accident, this is near PCA. That's Pensacola Christian Academy on 29 in Brent. In that intersection, it's not blocked. It's just very, very slow after, judging by the text, it looks like maybe a pedestrian versus auto accident. We're not sure, but that's what that is. That's what that slowdown is. And then two accidents on Gulf Breeze Parkway, on Highway 98, rather, as you're heading towards, it looks like eastbound and westbound both, but not showing a roadblock in either direction, near Ramblewood Drive in Gulf Breeze. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the Supreme Court oral arguments about this. Seth Waxman arguing for diversity at Harvard and the program that they have in place.
As this court has consistently held, if necessary to achieve genuine diversity, a university need not blind itself to race, which, like the type of high school an applicant attended, their socioeconomic and family background, or the part of the country they live in, forms a part of who they are.
And that's the idea for having the diversity of background, therefore viewpoint. You know, they think that race is a crucial part of this. Now, the questioning that he was getting from the more conservative justices like Samuel Alito indicates that those justices are not buying these arguments. Same thing in the UNC case. They're not buying what the UNC folks are arguing for.
You referred to the personal score, and that's a score that Harvard gives based on character traits such as integrity, courage, kindness, and empathy. But the record shows that Asian student applicants get the lowest personal scores of any other group. What accounts for that? It has to be one of two things. It has to be that they really do lack integrity, courage, kindness, and empathy to the same degree as students of other races, or there has to be something wrong with this personal score.
I want to get to what the evidence was there, but that syllogism, with all due respect, is wrong.
If Asian students are consistently scoring low on this particular category of the admissions process, are you saying that they're bad people with low personal ratings, or is it maybe that the scheme itself is set up to disadvantage them because you're trying to make sure that the Asian students get a disadvantage? Because that's the argument at Harvard, is that the Asian students who would otherwise be competitive for admissions are not considered. John Roberts.
For applicants who are essentially so strong on multiple dimensions, so extraordinarily strong on multiple dimensions, that they are sort of on the bubble, that they are a real candidate for admission, being African American, or being Hispanic, or in some instances being Asian American, can provide one of many, many tips that will put you in.
People say that, yes, but you will have to concede that if it provides one of many, then in some cases it will be determinative.
I do. I do concede that.
Okay, so we're talking about race as a determining factor in admission to Harvard.
Race for some highly qualified applicants can be the determinative factor, just as being an oboe player in a year in which the Harvard Radcliffe Orchestra needs an oboe player will be the tip.
We did not fight a civil war about oboe players.
We
did fight a civil war to eliminate racial discrimination, and that's why it's a matter of considerable concern.
John Roberts schooling Waxman on that point. Yeah, to make it compared to other things, the problem is there aren't other things that race analogizes to based on the history of this country.
And I think it's important for you to establish whether or not granting a credit based solely on skin color is based on a stereotype when you say this brings diversity of viewpoint. It may not bring diversity of viewpoint in a particular case at all.
Well, number one, viewpoint diversity, while Harvard values it and seeks it, is not the only by far the only reason for wanting a genuinely diverse class. We want a diverse class for backgrounds and interests and lots of things other than just viewpoint.
Well, and that's the question. Are those things valuable compared to, say, viewpoint or belief set, which is, it's this notion that somehow black or brown or white or Asian people therefore bring with them something that others that don't have those markers don't have? And the answer is maybe. Not always, and certainly not always in quite the same way. Justice Kavanaugh?
You're seeking educational diversity, as I understand it, at Harvard. But my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you don't ask about religion and why the disparate treatment of religion and race, would evangelical Christians, Catholics, Muslims add to the educational diversity at Harvard and other religious groups add to the diversity, and why not ask about that?
Yeah, and he says we don't have to ask about that because we achieve religious diversity anyway. Not if you're only having 9% conservatives, you're not. The broad label might be diverse, but the conservative or liberal skew within that label is obviously not being achieved. So, and again, you can do this without having to ask the question. Like with religion, if you can get there without having to ask the question, same thing when it comes to race. You can get there without having to ask about it, just like, Florida. And I think there's 9 states right now that have prohibitions on using race. Last one here is just because we haven't really heard anything from her yet today, but Amy Coney Barrett.
We've been talking a lot about endpoint. But my question is, so Bakke was, almost 50 years ago now. If Harvard's admissions process is essentially the same in the way that it accounts for race and thinking about endpoints, and I recognize and you describe some of the things that Harvard is doing to try to recruit more minority applicants, but why are we to think that there will be an endpoint? And Grutter's pretty insistent. I mean, Grutter says the requirement that all race-conscious admissions programs have a termination point. So there has to be one, and if it really hasn't changed much since Bakke.
And that's the point. If we are just continually having to do this, then what is the point of doing it? There should be some endpoint at which we can stop asking and stop caring about somebody's race, right? In fact, that's what Sandra Day O'Connor wrote in the Grutter decision in 2003. And she's saying, when's the endpoint? We've been doing this for at least 50 years, going back to California v. Bakke, or Bakke v. California, and now under Grutter, 21 years, where does it stop? So again, the lean seems definitely to be by the conservative justices, the 5.5 of them, that they're going to vote to at least restrict, if not strike down, any race-based admissions criteria. There's going to be a good question about whether they apply that same standard to the military service academies or not. But my guess would be that they're at least going to get rid of it in non-military academy settings, and we'll see what the implications are for the military academies, where they may defer to the judgment of the military to use these factors. 824 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be, and that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hurricane season is here, and making sure you're ready is key if you need to evacuate. Evacuations typically don't have to be hundreds of miles. Having at least half a tank of gas ensures you can evacuate the necessary tens of miles to a safe, sheltering location when a storm threatens your community. Check with nearby friends and family now and have a plan in place for what to do if you are ordered to evacuate. Visit halfwayfullhalfwaythere.com to learn about more ways to be prepared.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
So you make movies, huh?
I produce feature motion pictures. No TV.
I got an idea for a movie.
Good morning, 827 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, get shorty. Candy, Candy has got our traffic on the fives.
Accident at Brent Lane and Highway 29 right near Pensacola Christian Academy. As I understand, it's possibly a pedestrian versus car kind of thing. This happened a couple of hours ago. That intersection isn't blocked, but moving very, very slow. And then two accidents on Highway 98, real close to each other in Gulf Breeze and Ramblewood Drive. But as I understand, also not blocking anything. Just a little slow in that area. That's in the Oriole Beach area. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Donald Trump has a trial date set now. The federal judge assigned to the case, Judge Eileen Cannon, ordered the jury trial to take place starting August 14th. The Trump team expected to request a delay. China making major moves in Mexico. It's caught the eye of American lawmakers.
They're starting to do some things in Mexico under the guise of education, and that concerns me because some of those activities are right by the border.
Congressman Henry Cuellar says we need to be watching what's happening. There's some concerns about Chinese listening stations that could potentially capture sensitive communications.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620 is my phone number if you ever want to weigh in on something. If you are an employer and you have to deal with HR and payroll and benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, and disability, look, Torgerson Causey is great at this. Like, we had a different organization we were working with, and I thought they were fine. And then I got Torgerson Causey. I'm like, oh. You know, like, oh, I didn't know it could be like this. And just responsive and easy to work with, and they always answer our questions in good detail. My wife loves detail. They gave us choices when they started working with us about 5 or 6 years ago at News Radio and Cat Country that we didn't have before. Just better. You know, so if you work and you have employees and you'd like somebody to help you with this stuff, or even just kind of come in and look at what you're doing for no obligation and see if there's maybe not a way that we can do it a little bit better for your employees, give them a call. Torgerson Causey, more than 20 years doing this. TCBenefitsGroup.com is the phone number, 433-9996, if you want to talk to them in person. 8:30, we got the frivolous topic coming up next, and I keep getting into that late in the I keep dropping all this terrible news on people about what's going on with the with the submarine, though. I do not have high optimism about that. Oh, in case you heard us do the interview on Friday about the weird light over Perdido, we think it was, in fact, Chinese lanterns, because some people sent us videos of they were sending them up, and that's what it was.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's legal team is expected to move for a delay, but a preliminary trial date for withholding federal documents is set for August 14th. Fox's Brett Baer asks Trump why defy a subpoena to turn those documents over.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
He denies waving classified Iran war plans around in front of visitors and says it was just news articles. The Coast Guard is searching thousands of square miles in the Atlantic for a Titanic tourist sub missing since Sunday.
UK billionaire Hamish Harding is believed to be on board the vessel, his stepson tweeting thoughts and prayers. One of Pakistan's richest men, Shahzada Daywood, and his teenage son also on board. That according to a statement from Daywood's company. Coast Guard officials say they are exhausting every search effort possible.
Fox's Todd Pyro also on board a French former Navy diver who's led other Titanic expeditions and the founder of the submersible company Oceangate. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 79 degrees. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola. A 38-year-old man's been charged with a felony hit and run after fleeing a crash on Highway 29 and 9.5 mile roads this morning. FHP says the man was driving a pickup truck south on 29 when he ran a red light, crashed into a car at the intersection. The car ended up swerving off the road and rolling into a ditch. Troopers say the driver of the truck fled the scene with heavy damage to the front end of that truck. Troopers followed a trail of fluids, ended up finding the truck at Hannah and Walnut Avenues, where it was disabled from the crash, and troopers arrested the driver for felony hit and run, and the driver of the car reportedly suffered serious injuries in that crash. The chief financial officer from the Porch Band of Creek Indians was also killed in a car crash in Baldwin County over the weekend. That happened on the Baldwin Beach Expressway. Two other people died in the crash as well. Police say it was caused by an alleged drunk driver. 60-year-old David Colburn was booked into the Baldwin County Jail on DUI and manslaughter charges. Santa Rosa County Commissioner James Calkins wants his fellow leaders in the county to designate June as Pro-Life Month in the county. The board will be voting on that resolution on Thursday.
June 24th, 2022 was one of the greatest moments in U.S. history. It was the moment when Roe v. Wade was overturned. Also, before that, the Santa Rosa County citizens have spoken. Santa Rosa County citizens, by a vote of 60%, declared Santa Rosa County to be a pro-life sanctuary.
Calkins had hoped the board would vote on it yesterday. However, Acting Chairman Sam Parker said procedurally it would just be better to do it on Thursday, as a resolution could be drafted. It would also give people a chance to speak on that resolution. This Wednesday through Friday, area law enforcement agencies and other first responders are going to be putting their donut cravings on hold. Between 3 and 6 each day, officers and firefighters will be stationed at grocery stores. They're collecting donations for the 6th annual donut strike for Mana Food Pantries.
Last year alone, Mana helped over 60,000 people, and the majority of them were children. So this is a great opportunity for the public to give to Mana.
That's Executive Director Dee Dee Flaunlacher. She tells Channel 3 there's an even greater demand this year, of course, because costs for foods and other items have been continuing to rise. The Wharf in Orange Beach undergoing a big expansion. A groundbreaking ceremony was held Friday for Portside on Main. Now, this project includes 33,000 feet of retail, office, and entertainment space, another 26,000 square feet of green space and open space, and an outdoor stage for events and concerts. It's expected to be done sometime next summer. Tropical Storm Brett has now formed over the Atlantic Ocean. The National Hurricane Center said yesterday that the storm has currently winds of about 40 miles an hour. It's moving to the west, and it's likely to become a hurricane sometime tomorrow and then strengthen over the next few days. As of right now, still a little bit too early to tell how or even if it'll have any impact here in the U.S. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Looking around at Brent Lane and 29, right near Pensacola Christian Academy, there was an accident a couple of hours ago, maybe 3 hours ago now, but that intersection is still, it's not blocked, just very, a little bit slower than it usually is. Another accident on Highway 98, this is in Gulf Breeze near Oriole Beach. There's two accidents, actually, but it doesn't look like it's blocking anything. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620, text them in, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
More showers and thunderstorms for today. Storms moving in later on into the day. 70% chance of rain with a high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. We're going to be seeing our storm chance continue for Wednesday. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. A few storms could be strong, high near 88. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 79 in Pensacola. It is 78 in Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new. Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek. You'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999, the Tiguan S from $27,999, and the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy a family-friendly and free outdoor movie this weekend. Bring your blankets and lawn chairs to Community Maritime Park Friday night for Movies in the Park. Pre-show activities begin at 6 with the movie Black Panther at sunset. See cityofpensacola.com for more info. Or bring your blankets and beach chairs to the Gulfside Pavilion Friday night for Cinemas in the Sand, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Finding Nemo begins at sunset. Submit your nonprofit event at newsradio923.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, 1211, a radiant, energetic, and dynamic pop R&B band with a vast range of cathartic and dance-worthy songs, warm vocals, an infectious groove, and fresh sound. This week at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Your money now. The market opening down a bit this morning. The Dow down 155, 79 at 34, 143.33. The S&P 500 down 1306, 43.96, 53. The NASDAQ down 346 at 12, 683, 63. The 10-year bond rate also down this morning, 3.72%. Gold prices down 20.30 at 1,950.90. And silver prices at 2340 this morning. Hackers threatening to leak 80 gigabytes of confidential data from Reddit. The Black Cat ransomware gang claims they stole information during a breach in February. UPS Teamsters say they're ready to strike if the new contract agreement isn't settled soon. The current contract between the company and the union is scheduled to run out at the end of the month. And there's a new report that says Florida has one of the best economies in the nation. The financial website WalletHub surveyed all 50 states and Washington, D.C., ranked them based on a variety of economic factors, and Florida came in 13th place. Overall, it ranked third for economic health. Washington State found to have the best economy in the nation. It's 8:39. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, now I don't always like to do too many food topics because we could do 100% food fight time. We could just do the frivolous topic all the time on food.
Yeah, that's true.
And yesterday we did cornbread, sweetened or unsweetened, candy. You apparently shouldn't have participated, but okay, it's fine. You weren't here, so
I didn't know
whatever.
You could have sweet cornbread. That doesn't make sense to me.
It's cake. So anyway, today's topic, though, is inspired by one of these. What national day is it? You know, and I look up these things, and it's World Productivity Day, snooze. Ice Cream Soda Day, snooze. National Hike with a Geek Day. What? Okay, fine, snooze.
Love it.
No, but here today, it's National Vanilla Milkshake Day. To which I say, well, why don't you get a real milkshake? 437-1620-437. Candy's look so funny. Just total shock.
I'm okay with Supreme Court and college admission.
Don't you dare insult that vanilla milkshake. Yeah,
just
all right.
So
this is my question for you. Maybe it's a two-parter. The main part is, like, what's your favorite? Like, what's the best milkshake? And I have clear opinions about this. But also, should vanilla milkshakes even exist? And my answer is no. It's silly. I mean, all you did is take ice cream and put a little bit of milk in there and you just mix it until it was soupy. I mean, what's the point of the vanilla milkshake?
Well, stupid. It's called, it's a milkshake. I mean, what else? Did everybody not start on vanilla? It's okay to still love
that favorite
flavor. That's
the whole point, to start on it so you can get into actual flavors. Like, you know, here's your white canvas of no paint. Thanks. Fantastic. Was this modern art? No.
Yeah, boring. You're not drinking a canvas.
You could. Anyway, so you like a vanilla milkshake?
I didn't say that. No, just kidding. No, I do. I do like vanilla. I usually go vanilla. A lot of my stuff is vanilla.
Do you really?
Yeah. I like it.
You pay money for a vanilla milkshake when you could
don't
get.
Don't talk like that. And yes, I do. Vanilla, I do. I like all of the milkshakes. And I can't imagine a spicy milkshake.
I'm sure it'd be fantastic. I'm
sure you think it would, but no, it's and there used to be the bar downtown that would put alcohol in them.
Oh yeah.
Ooh,
oh, like, no, that's actually a good note.
Not just the Bushwhackers.
I was going to say, like, the best milkshake is a Bushwhacker.
those are good, but I like vanilla. I like chocolate, too. Sonic has a great banana milkshake. They're all fantastic, but I usually go vanilla. It's like the cheese pizza, which I know is also not your
exactly.
Jam.
That's the best argument against it.
That's how you find out, like, man, this is a good pizza.
If you don't understand why we love vanilla milkshakes, why don't you understand cheese pizza? Same reason. Why can't you get a real pizza?
I always tell you I'm going to walk off the show. We had that conversation this morning. This is another one of them times. But I love a vanilla milkshake. And then the whipped cream on top and the cherry juice. I mean, it's just perfect. I don't understand how people put stuff in there. Like, you can go to Sonic
I'm with you, the chunks. I'm not. No,
I don't understand how you,
you
do.
Can get
I mean,
a blizzard.
I understand how it happens.
A blizzard has your chunks. That's fine. You eat it with a spoon. If you're eating it with a straw and there's chunks, now you got problems. I'm with you.
That's bizarre
I don't understand
to me.
The problem.
It's like, why would you guys want to ruin your milkshake? They used to have a lavender milkshake at Sonic, and it was just delicious. I thought it would taste like fabric softener. But it was good.
We're getting a bunch of texts in here. Somebody says, well, stupid, I'm crying.
Sorry, dude.
You know, I'm a little worried about the level of informality on this show. It seems like the respect has taken a bit of a dip, Candy.
I know, dude. I know. And I should look. Everybody in this building,
who
I shouldn't
cares?
Call him dude either. Yeah, Mary does. She doesn't like to be called dude.
Fine, whatever.
Whatever.
437-1620. Somebody says a $5 milkshake.
Like Pulp Fiction, right?
Oh, nicely
right.
Done.
Although,
all right.
Although, how cheap is that now? It's so weird.
Mean,
it's like, I wish we had $5
free,
milkshakes.
Right?
Yes.
Absolutely vanilla. Shakes are awesome. My most favorite, though, I have two strawberries and orange cream. Okay, yeah.
And those sound fantastic.
And see, this is the thing. Here's where we're going to start to draw a little bit of hatred in my direction. It's fine. I don't really like a strawberry shake either. My wife loves strawberry shakes. Now, if you make it with fresh strawberries and, you know, a little bit of vanilla extract, a little bit of sugar, then I'm fine with it. But the, like, she likes the soupy, you know, just like add the syrup. I can't even drink it. I like it. So, oh. And I love vanilla, or I love strawberries. So that's kind of a weird one. Somebody here says, oh, a Wendy's Frosty. And of course, if you order Wendy's Frosty, then you
dip the fries into it, which also sounds like it's going to be disgusting, but it's pretty great.
Can I add this one thing? The only problem with that approach, and though I endorse it, is that Wendy's fries, they don't put enough salt on their fries.
Yes, they do.
And the real way to solve this issue is you got to make sure there's enough salt, and it can either be in the shake itself or it can be in the fries, but it's got to be enough salt when you dip it with the French fries and the Frosty. Just saying, all those things combined, which, by the way, life-changing. When I discover that you can just put salt in a shake, like a salted caramel.
And I'm telling you, if you're listening, and that sounds disgusting to you, I agree, and it's not. Salted chocolate is amazing.
I've never tried, but I am sure. I'm more of the malt chocolate.
Is Bubba's Sweet Shop still open? The ice cream store downtown, right by Jackson's.
I know.
I haven't been downtown in a while, but
I think so.
We're gonna have to take a field trip.
Yeah, we do a lot of field trips for food.
Oh, we should.
You want to do traffic?
No, I want to talk milkshakes. I understand, right near PCA where that accident happened a lot earlier, it looks like that whole area has been cleared, so you shouldn't have any problems getting where you're going this morning. 9 Mile and West Side Drive showing an accident with no roadblock this morning, and again Brent and 29. It looks like that area is clear. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip or a milkshake comment, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
My milkshake's better than yours.
Mm-hmm. Mine brings all the boys to the yard. Actually, it doesn't. It brings cats and no money. Static.
1620. My favorite is strawberry, but I like a good vanilla milkshake. Depends on the vanilla ice cream you use. Well, sure, right? Well,
right.
I mean, if you get like, you know, turn like Cold Stone or what's the one on 9th Avenue? I can't think of the name. The creamery that right there across by the hospital. Somebody's going to text me. I can't think of it. Anyway.
Is it called? My gosh.
Put that
marble
in a milkshake.
Slab.
Yeah, thank you. Put that in a milkshake.
I mean, I don't know. Just kidding. yeah, I know all the ice
Somebody
cream
asked,
places.
Is Chick-fil-A peach shakes only available during the summer? Ooh, I don't know, but I'm guessing it's a seasonal.
What?
Peach shake does sound pretty
good. Okay, that sounds awesome.
Can I tell you what I never went for? I never went for the Shamrock. And
oh,
I love mint.
Delicious.
I love mint, but I never went for that. Like, I love a mint ice cream. I love the mint with the M&Ms when I do a blizzard. That's one of my favorites for sure. But I don't know the flip side of that, Jamocha shake.
Those are good.
That's my favorite.
The coffee taste,
the Jamocha shake. I was raised on that. Little potato cakes, which you can't get anymore. Arby's, I hate you for that. Somebody says Whataburger chocolate all day long at Christmas. Eggnog from McDonald's. Oh, eggnog shakes are so yummy.
Oh, the eggnog shakes are delicious.
Yeah, no, that's good. The best milkshake I ever had, somebody here says, was when my grandmother would make them out of snow on a snow day.
Yeah. Okay, and you're from the land of the north as well.
Yeah, and this is a new one to me.
My family, they not like as a job, but everybody tapped their maple trees up there, and so we always had syrup that we would pour. I wouldn't do it now because of pollution, but we would pour it over snow.
Oh.
Our grandparents and parents would make syrup.
Hawaiian ice with maple syrup.
It sounds disgusting,
but it was
one of those treats. It's like in my blood.
Double chocolate malt at Whataburger. Somebody here says, what does this see? My son's favorite ice cream milkshake is vanilla. He's 33. Any topping has to come on the side. Cheese pizza only. He will pull off any topping and he wears quiet clothes.
He wears
double snort
clothes.
You got us both to snort with that one. Mango with pineapple and coconut rum. Andrew, at what point does a milkshake become a smoothie? Well, when it's ice and not ice cream. I mean, duh. Somebody here...
He's just kidding.
I don't think these things are easy. Jamocha bribed the maker for a couple of extra squeezes of syrup in it. Oh, now you're talking. Mrs. C's homemade ice cream. Now, man, they were getting all kinds of stuff in. Oh, and the Maine maple syrup thing is still a thing. People still do that.
And somebody else wrote, we did that as kids.
Yeah, if sugar
parents,
on the snow. Interesting.
Family,
I've never heard of that. Living
it doesn't
in the Midwest
sound
my
like
whole
it
life,
sounds
but,
like it'd be disgusting. If I heard it as an adult, I'd be like,
now,
no thanks. Oh, yeah, they would do it. They'd make it on the stove, and it's just.
Can I,
liquid
can I,
from a
can
tree
I tell you
sugar?
How dumb I feel that my whole life it never occurred to me to just go out and get some snow and pour syrup on it and make...
Well, no, it wouldn't have to me either.
Awesome.
We did it on a field trip, and I remember telling my parents, we went to something called Sugar Bush. I think it was in Vermont, and my family was like, Yeah, we can do that.
You can't do it.
It's like when they make you a burger like Eddie Murphy. I don't want that burger. I want the McDonald's burger. But and they would and we would always have syrup on snow after that.
That's I love it. I love the idea. Now it just makes me sad that we live in a place where we don't get snow. All right, that's your frivolous topic
for the
day.
You want me to make you some snow?
No, we'll be all right. All right. Hey, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great place to buy good quality used cars. You know, good cars, good prices, good people. They take care of you. They've got a follow up. They'll take care of you afterwards if there's any issue with it. You know, like because they're a good place, right, to buy cars. We went there basically because they had a car that we wanted to test drive. We test drove it. It was great. We weren't going to buy it. The price was really good. We weren't going to buy it. We asked them to come down. They did. We weren't going to buy it. I asked them, can you give us a day? They said, sure. I said, we're not going to buy it. I asked them again after a day, can you come down a little bit? They said, yeah. And I said, well, I guess we're going to buy it. That's how easily we bought a car from them. So when I tell you they're a great place to buy cars, I mean it from experience. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, part of our tractor lineup rated number one in durability and owner experience, Z Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Stop by your local Kubota dealer today. Bring home select BX Series equipment for zero down, 0% APR for up to 72 months, plus save up to $800 now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
Let's go. Move out. You're Marines now. You improvise. You adapt. You overcome.
Sergeant Yugnavich, FHB, I've been here since the beginning. We left out on the 17th, met up in Pensacola, went to San Antonio, made our way down here to Brownsville, met up with DPS troopers. My troopers that we brought down have been riding with the DPS Highway Patrol. And this is pretty much it. We've been from one bridge to the other. I mean, they've cleared it out. We've been coming in contact with multiple migrants. They either cut it, they either crawl over it, they crawl through it, and it's just what we're doing is basically grabbing hold of them. If they get over the wire, we turn them over to Border Patrol.
So as you heard him introduce himself, this is Sergeant Yokanavich, who is with FHP, and he's been deployed during Operation Lone Star to the Texas border with Mexico and Brownsville. And it's a little hard to hear it in the background, but let me paint the picture of what you're seeing. I shared this interview over onto our Facebook page. You can watch it for yourself. Governor DeSantis put this up yesterday that he's at the border of, I think it's the Rio Grande, I'm assuming, and because it's a water crossing. And there's concertina wire on this side in several layers. And he's kind of showing you that people will throw a blanket over it or they'll throw a shirt over it or something like that. They'll try to climb over it. And most people are discouraged, but some people will, get across, and their job is to basically grab them and apprehend them and, take them to processing for Border Patrol. They're there to help, okay? And in the background across the river, you can see, 50, 100 people just kind of milling about, waiting for their opportunity. playing in the water, eating, talking, smoking, waiting for a break in the patrol agents so that they can try to come across the border. That's just what they're doing while they wait. And it's, I don't know, I found it very disconcerting to watch, to listen to. It's really a mess.
They usually throw blankets over it. They try to get their family units through, mostly adults, if they're separate by themselves. Other than that, I mean, this is pretty much what you see. They cleared all this out. This is where we're getting a lot of them coming in crawling. They did it to the other side also. We only have one major area that is the problem, and that's, I want to say that's T12, and that's, they usually come across on rafts. They'll swim across, and they'll crawl up the bushes and make their way in if nobody's there.
So we've got right now over 300 personnel that continue to support the Texas Military Department from the Florida National Guard. FDLE has special agents for 30 special agents and 9 support team members are deployed to Texas. You know, they're assisting the Department of Public Safety there. They're doing stuff like handling human smuggling, burglary, firearms, child endangerment, escape from federal custody. These are all charges or cases that they're making. Seizing cocaine, seizing methamphetamines, marijuana, drug paraphernalia, firearms, ammunition. We got 10 FHP troopers deployed right there. Just, you know, for example, they just seized 231 pounds of drugs worth $184,000 and a sergeant and 2 troopers from FHP given intel and helped DPS and Border Patrol with that seizure. So this is just what's happening over in Texas. And, man, this one, I agree with his end sentiment here. Something needs to be done.
We get a lot from Venezuela. There's a lot from, I mean, we've had a few from Ecuador. But the majority is, it's the family, it's the kids, it's the children. I mean, we've got, there's people swimming halfway across trying to give us their babies. I mean, literal babies. We had one on the line right here when they were trying to get through. They literally threw their baby over the line. So it's, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. It's the kids. That's, man, that drives me crazy.
Can just try to imagine, you know, you're a big tough cop. You know, you go down to the border to patrol the concertina wire on our side and the water and the people on the other side, and somebody gets halfway across holding a baby up in the air and tries to throw it to you because that's their solution. I mean, the politics of what's the right answer aside, this is an unsustainable situation. Something dramatically different needs to be done, right? 856 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic for you.
And it looks like everything is cleared up. 29 and Brent, that intersection is now good to go. Bell Lane and Sterling Way, taking a look at Milton, all clear, not showing any delays. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. 857, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, I strongly recommend that you call Christina Leavenworth and just ask her. You know, you probably got like some, I don't know, a relative, a friend, a church member, a neighbor, somebody who does real estate, and you've been thinking to go with that. And that's, you know, do whatever you want. You're an adult, okay? But, you know, maybe call Christina and be like, hey, I'm thinking about selling my home, or I'm thinking about moving from a rental up into a real house and buying one. I'm not sure if now is the right time, if it's going to get better or worse in the near future. What do you think? Ask her a couple of questions. You know, interview. I mean, this is a professional service. Like, interview them and find out what they think they can do for you and get information and then make a good adult decision. All I'm saying is this. You just can't go wrong with Christina. She's so good at what she does, treats every single person like you're her only client right now. I don't know how she does it. I know I couldn't do it, but this is what I hear from people she does. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. 858 on News Radio 92.3.
Future news.
Time for future news. That's when Candy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. All right, Brett, this tropical storm, will it be a hurricane? Will it come to the Gulf side of Florida?
Yes and no.
I'm going to say yes and no also. It's going to be a hurricane, maybe a 2, maybe a 3 possible, but more likely it's going to kind of run into land interference and then splinter up and either go east out over the Atlantic coast or out in the ocean or like south towards Mexico or something like that. But you got to watch because you never know. It might survive and come over Cuba. And then
we'll be with you through every
step
of it.
That's exactly right. Supreme Court, do you think they will completely prohibit race-based admissions, or do you think they'll just limit it? Do you think they'll say the service academies for the military can't do it? What do you think?
I see both sides of it. I was very surprised about the Harvard stuff, to be honest.
And their past, their history with anti-Semitic, yeah.
But, well, yeah, and anti-Asian.
Yeah,
and
now,
just
right?
Yeah, so I don't know.
I think they are going to say that it is unacceptable in general admissions, and I think they might, if anything, make a carve-out for deference to the military academies. But